Good morning. A Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, we're taking a look first at the G7 meeting where President Trump offered contradictory signals on China. President Trump said that he regretted not raising tariffs on Chinese goods higher after saying earlier that he had second thoughts on new levies. The president's rhetorical whipsaw injected fresh uncertainty into his effort to navigate the trade war. Not to mention everything else that's been coming out of this meeting, which basically sees the leadership tiptoeing around the president of the United States.
That's right, David. Nobody wants to annoy him because when you are playing with somebody of this temperament, let's just put it that way, you don't want to set them off. He is all over the place. In the end, it has always been a matter of playing to his base. He says he'll do it. He says that the Chinese are coming around right now. There's a little signal for the world and for the stock market to do a little bit better. On the other hand, there is all of this talk about the raising of the tariffs and the amount of money that Americans are going to end up having to pay, and that causes panic. You see that the Asian stock markets are doing quite badly. The United States, responding to some of the stimuli, more than one, are doing a little bit better for now. But of course, it's a roller coaster, and that ain't good for the economy or for anybody else. In the meantime, David, the president's mental health is being questioned all over the place. You have Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, calling him out in the worst of ways about his stability. People are yelling for the 25th Amendment, but that involves using the cabinet, and his cabinet is not about to overturn his presidency. Just isn't going to happen. So there is chaos, basically, in the White House of the type we never thought we were going to see.
And he's blaming the media, saying, when I looked up to the sky and jokingly said, I am the chosen one at a press conference 2 days ago, referring to taking on trade with China, little did I realize that the media would claim that I have a messiah complex. They knew I was kidding, being sarcastic and just having fun, he tweeted on Saturday.
Well, there you are. There are some things that the president of the United States is not supposed to do, and one of them is to claim that he is the messiah. It's offensive, even if he didn't mean it, and there are many of us who think he did mean it. It's the kind of rhetoric that he uses in his negotiating, and it is why everybody is so worried about him. You've got a guy who's got his finger on the button. We have also heard intimations that he might not leave if he's defeated, and he is in deep, deep trouble. The country is in deep trouble as a result of his being here.
Is the major problem here what Charles Blow says in his column in the New York Times? Trump's paradigm of the personally confuses the way he thinks he is treated with the well-being of the country.
Well, that is, of course, true to him. His re-election and who he is the paradigm. It is the way in which he sees himself. What's good for him is good for the country, obviously, and that he clearly, truly does believe. So when he attacks the press, it's nothing new. You want to talk about paradigms, you talk about democracy, you talk about the way in which this country has traditionally been enveloped by certain kinds of norms, which he ignores completely. He attacks the press. It is the foundation of our democracy. All the major dictators in the past have attacked their press and closed down their press. So we know what that's all about.
Did you see this story about the National Security Council memorandum in which, during a hurricane briefing at the White House, President Trump said, about hurricanes, Alan, approaching the United States, why don't we nuke them?
Then he turns around and says, I was just kidding. You don't nuke a hurricane. And nevertheless, this is one of the most serious things. Lives will be lost. Homes will be lost. And nations will be threatened. And he kids around or doesn't kid around, whatever he's doing. It's not presidential. That's for sure.
What about senatorial? Let's go to Massachusetts for a moment. Interesting story, which is Congressman Joseph Kennedy III is ready to go where his grandfather and two great uncles have gone before the U.S. Senate. The only problem, incumbent Massachusetts Democrat Senator Edward Markey is running for re-election. The 73-year-old Markey told the Times he won't step aside even if the 38-year-old Kennedy jumps in.
Well, Markey is a guy who has always been an aggressive fighter, but Kennedy is a Kennedy. What can I tell you? There's a lot of history here. The image of JFK comes before us, of Teddy comes before us, of Bobby comes before us. Very hard to believe that this state is not going to go for Kennedy, especially as Mr. Markey is getting to an older age now. He's only 73. I say that because I'm a little bit older, and he's got a six-year term. That would make him 79 by the time he was done. If there is going to be a primary, I think there's a pretty good chance that Kennedy could win it. Kennedy keeps saying, I'm still running for the House. We'll see.
Now let's jump over to New York, Alan. Yancey Roy, Newsday reporter, has a story about Senator Bob Antonacci, a Republican of Syracuse, deciding to run for a state Supreme Court seat covering six counties in central New York. And the candidacy is turning heads in political circles because he won his seat just last November. But with Republicans buried without power in the Senate minority, he writes, he looks to leave Albany after less than a year on the job. A number of Republicans said they were watching to see if Antonacci's decision triggers other retirements of GOP Senate veterans before next year's elections.
Well, we always knew this was going to happen. The idea that you're in control of the Senate for all of those years, and you gerrymander like crazy, and you say to your computer, draw me a district where I can't lose, and one day the computer looks at you and says, well, you're going to lose. The Senate, probably because Andrew Cuomo, who had been playing nicey-nicey with the Senate, said, you guys got to go because I got an election, and now they're gone. And who would want to be around in the state Senate in the minority when you've been in the majority all of those years? You would then have what was nicely termed in New York State politics, the power of warm spit.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us on Monday. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, David.